Hello and welcome to The Review, the podcast where we sit down with your favorite Kendama players over a cup of coffee and dive deep into this game we all love called Kendama. Today, I'm incredibly excited to bring to The Review someone who I really appreciate and many of you may not know, but I hope you get to know through this episode, Mediocrist, otherwise known as Jesse in his real name. But before we dive in, I gotta let you guys know about one of my favorite coffee roasters, Onyx Coffee Lab, who generously support The Review. Onyx is one of my favorite brands that produces coffee and roasts it, and they're an award-winning roaster. But on top of that, they just do it right. They make great roasts, and they do it all sustainably and ethically. So go head to onyxcoffeelab.com, check out their wide variety of roasts. They're always rotating in and out. But if you're going to pick one on my recommendation, and if you're feeling a little bougie, go and get the Ethiopian Whoosh Whoosh. It's so freaking good. And I just finished my last cup of it at work today. I'm going to be opening up a new box going forward for the next week. So I will have a new recommendation next week for you. But today, go check out the Whoosh Whoosh. So head to onyxcoffeelab.com and use code REVIEW10. That'll save you 10% on your order. And it goes to support the show here and keep me caffeinated all day long. However, tonight I am not caffeinated because it is too late at night on this August 20th. So I am drinking an adult beverage as we chat with Mr. Mediocrist, Jesse. And so let's dive into this week's review and let's get to know who I think is one of the cool up and coming and humble creators in the Kendama community. You can jump on here. Heyo.
Hey, how's it going? Perfect intro. You've got that on lock, eh?
Well, you know, I've been doing it for so long and I also have like a quick note sheet. So like if I for some reason forget things, and honestly, it's just like I've just been doing it for so long that like most of it flows and it's just stuff that I actually like, you know, it's like when you actually believe what you're saying, it's pretty easy to remember things.
Yeah, it comes out natural.
Yeah. So you got to plug the Onyx, you know, love them. Love that fam.
Of course.
But dude, welcome to The Review. I feel like for me, this feels like a long time coming. I've been following a lot of the work that you've been doing on YouTube, and I feel like a lot of people don't know that you're creating content on there as a Kendama player or in the Kendama space, but we'll dive into it. But like, seriously, like I'm just stoked on what you're doing. And I wanted to get you on here to bring more attention to the need to create more content for the community to take their roles as content creators more seriously, but to just give you a platform as well to share a little bit of what you're doing. But before we do, I always like to ask three questions on every episode to all the guests that we bring on here, especially this season of Review. So I want to start off with a real simple one. What are you drinking today?
All right. I know how much of a fan of coffee you are, but of course, a little late for me too. I've got just enough water to keep me alive, keep the words coming out. And that's about it, you know?
Do you drink coffee though?
I'll answer your question if you promise not to get mad at me.
No, I'm not going to get mad at you. I've had lots of tea drinkers on here. Don't you worry.
Yeah, so I can tell you the extent of my coffee drinking. Well, in the winter, it's almost always tea, you know, if I need a warm drink. But summertime, not so often, but the extent of the coffee drinking would be, I'm sure you're familiar with K-Cup. I drop one of those, pop one of those, and then I get like two big bowls. A aluminum like metal bowls, a medium one and a big one, all the coffee into the medium bowl, some water into the big bowl, and then you like swish it around, start cooling it down, little milk, little ice, pour it back in the mug, iced coffee.
Oh, so you only do iced coffee?
Yeah, pretty, because I only really drink it in the summer when I need that refreshment. Okay. And yeah, that's the method that cools it down the quickest. So
that's fair.
A little unconventional, but the metal bowl coffee, iced coffee, that's pretty much it.
Interesting. That's a unique method that I've never heard anyone do to cool down their coffee. I will occasionally make iced coffee. I have a recipe on the website that was inspired by Dama or Death, if you know who that is, Greg Phipps. And it's like you brew the coffee hot into ice and it cools down as it's brewing. And then it gets the ratios just perfect. So at the end of your cup, you have a really, really nice, like a cold iced coffee that was freshly brewed. And it's fantastic. It's seriously the best iced coffee I've ever made or had in my life.
Yeah. So, I don't know how my ratios are, but probably not too good.
Yeah. Once you get deep into the coffee game, it gets pretty serious. It's like, I'm pretty sure I have like the equivalent of a master's degree in chemistry when it comes to the coffee brewing process. So looking to get that PhD one day, but there's a lot of level up I need to still.
Book, you got it, dude. You got it.
An honorary doctorate. I appreciate it. Okay.
Of course.
Jesse, if you could teach any one person their first spike, past, present, alive or dead, doesn't matter, who would it be?
I thought about this one a little bit, and I'm going to go with Mark Rober. I'm sure you're familiar with Mark Rober.
Okay. I love Mark Rober.
Okay, good, good. Yeah, that, because I was thinking, you know, have you seen, this is kind of where this came from, have you seen that video where Adam Savage from Mythbusters and Vsauce get together and they make that kendama and they're just geeking over it and the spin and all the physics stuff that goes into it? And that led me right to Mark Rober as my choice. I think he'd love it. He'd you know, just think of things that nobody else would think to say.
Honestly, like we as a kendama community should really try and get a kendama in the hands of Mark Rober, because I think he would love it, and I think it would be something that would be incredibly entertaining. It's such a good fit for what he does. Like, he would do something cool with it, and I don't know what he would do. Oh, yeah. Nobody knows what he would do, but he would do something with it, I think. And I don't know what, but I think it'd be so awesome. Exactly. I freaking love Mark Rober. I think in terms of, like, so I love consuming content and I follow influencers and I'm really deep in that space through work. And I think Mark Rober is probably one of the pinnacle influencers out there. And he has such good content building when it comes to telling a story and to generating high click, high watch time content. He is literally the king of it. I don't know anyone who does it better than him without giving away tens of thousands of dollars, Mr. Beast. And like, you know, like,
no shade.
But no, for real, like, every video he does gets over 10 million views. Doesn't matter.
It's crazy.
It literally doesn't matter, because he knows how to tell a story and knows how to create content that people engage with. He's literally brilliant. I love that guy. Anyways, I could literally fanboy him for a while, because I just genuinely think he's amazing. But I want to know, who is the most inspiring kendama player to you today?
Yeah, I took a little ponder at this one too. Studied my review opening question, but I kind of thought around, and I think, I mean, that's also why I appreciate you bringing me on, because I think I'm a bit of an unconventional person in the space, I'd say. And so I was thinking, like, when I'm like on Instagram, whatever, is there anyone that like pro players and stuff that people talk about that inspire me? And when I was trying to think of, you know, what do I see that actually inspires me to pick up the Dhamma? There's a guy, his name is, I think his at is literally just Dhamma guy, but the G is like a Q. I don't know if you've seen this guy. I think he's from like Finland or something. But I don't know if he's a pro player for any team. Like, I don't know too much about him, to be honest. But he does like story dares frequently. Mm-hmm. And I'll be clicking through. Like, you know, you see story dares, some of them are like, oh, whirlwind. And it's like, cool, cool. But of course, watch them. You know, all the love to everybody's dares. But this guy, like, I'll be clicking through and you'll see like the Instagram question box, like, oh, send me some dares, and people send this guy like paragraph dares, like multi-line dares. It's like this to this to this to this, and you're thinking, okay, I'll watch this, I'll stick on this story. And this guy, no ego, no, you know, like, no showboating, he doesn't try to be anything he's not, and he just cranks out these crazy dares like nothing, like absolute you know, fluid motion and everything. And that's what's inspiring me to like pick it up sometimes. You know, if I'm sitting on the bed and I see something like that, I'll jump up and I'll want to hit some tricks, because he makes it look so easy, and then, you know, quickly you find out it's not so easy. But yeah, I really like that guy, Dhamma guy. I don't know.
Yeah. I think I know the at you're talking about. I just can't put a face to it right now, or the exact like lettering of it. I'll look it up later, and if I remember during the editing process, I'll add it to the show notes afterwards. But that's super cool. Okay, so let's dive into your story a little bit here and what you're doing. Before we do, to kind of like set the precedent, because I think a lot of people that are going to be listening to this episode are going to be like, who the heck is this guy? Why is he on the review? I've never heard of him before, unless you happen to follow my stories, because I talk about you every now and then and I share about you, because I think what you're doing is really cool. And partly because you're on the platform that I think more kendama players should be on, which is YouTube. And you've been on YouTube for quite a while now, but not as a kendama player. You kind of dabbled into kendama more recently, if I'm right, on that front, or more actively involved in kendama on the YouTube platform recently. So give me a little like background on you, if someone from the kendama community is trying to get an idea of like, who is this guy?
Sure. So it really, like, if we're talking like the kind of path into the kendama space, it really starts like, well, it starts way back, but like, you know what I mean? Like, I was always like kind of, it was always like the next thing, like, oh, I wanted to like juggle. If it was like, I wanted like a magic kit for Christmas, all those kind of little things. And like the Diablo, like the Chinese yo-yo with the sticks and the, yeah, so it was one thing after the next with those things. And like you said, I consumed a lot of YouTube content and always enjoyed the same tutorials, how to juggle this, how to balance this on your head, this, that, and the other. And I wanted to do stuff like that for a long time, and I did it, but there was never really anybody to share it with. Like I wasn't going out with my friends to juggle, and I wasn't, things like that. I'd show like my mom my magic tricks, and she'd say cool, and that was about the extent of it. So I did want to do the YouTube thing for a while, and then, it just never got around to it. And then it was about when quarantine started that I had all this free time that I had never seen before. And I took to YouTube, starting with like cubing videos, like for anyone who's not familiar. And that's like a huge space on YouTube. So, I'm like, oh, I can get in there. Everybody's doing that, right?
I
Go
think
ahead.
that's the most ridiculous thing to me, that cubing is that big, because it seems so one-dimensional from the outside to me. Like I can solve a 3x3, and I've done the 2x2 a bunch, and I've done a like 4x4, I think, once or five, whatever it is. It's like whatever one I've done. I've done one larger one, but I literally sat there for an hour looking at a Google sheet, trying to figure it out and follow all the algorithms and so on and so on. Anyways, all that to say though, I like, how do you create YouTube content around Rubik's cubing when it feels so one-dimensional? Like, what kind of types of content are there in that space?
So that's a really good question, and it's a question I have too, is like, why is it so popular? I think I could be totally wrong, but in my opinion, from my third person point of view, is that a lot of younger people are really into the cubing, and that's kind of where a lot of the content that I see being popular kind of leans. And I know there are like young guys into Kendama and stuff too. I don't know why it's not bit the same way, but cubing content ranges from like challenges, a lot of unboxings and stuff, obviously, but people do like challenges and then, like tips for algorithms. I don't really, it's a good question because I don't really know, but there's so much of it. But what is it? I couldn't tell you. It feels like kind of, like you said, kind of recycled because there's only so much you can do with it. It is kind of one dimensional.
That's super interesting. Okay, so but that's how you got into YouTube, is you were seeing all this content, you were cubing, and then you decided, hey, I want to create content in this, one-dimensional saturated space. Like, what prompted that for you? Why did you want to start creating content there?
I think it was just always in the back of my head as like, oh, you should do this. Oh, but I'm busy. And then this. And then this, the quarantine rolled around. It's like, you should just try it. Like, because it was at the time too. Like, again, it all boils down to the free time. And I honestly credit like the whole starting of the channel and everything I'm doing to like the quarantine time I had. Because I started like building this shelf in my room for like to put my cubes on. And I was like, oh, I could have like shared that. That's kind of unique, making a cubing shelf or whatever. But I didn't have the channel at that time, so I couldn't. And then it was around that time too that I first kind of dabbled in Kendama, and I was like, oh, I could share this thing. And it brought me back to all the times I did all these cool things, and now I've got like no proof of it, no tips, nobody to share it with, no nothing. And that's really what prompted the jump to YouTube, is like, oh, I just want to share this, someone might be interested. And might I add, like I said, with the juggling and all that, YouTube was the place that I went to learn things, and not even to learn things, just to meet people, or meet to me, but they have no idea who I am, but to meet people who are into the same thing. And I figured I could offer that because I thought what I was doing was cool, even if nobody in my immediate circle did.
And you documented some of your learning journey through it, instead of I think some people see themselves as like, I need to consume content before I create content, right? Like, I need to get to the same level of the people that are there that are like the pros before I can start creating content. Because why would anybody watch what I'm creating unless I'm at that level? Which is really part of what I want to get to in talking with you, especially when it comes to Kendama, because I'd assume you don't consider yourself a professional Kendama player. And what I enjoy about your content is you're not documenting in that way. You are almost creating an archive of your growth journey of learning how to play Kendama. And it's coming from such a humble place of beginnings, where you're like, I'm just doing this and I'm sharing my journey and my story and the growth and like what I'm wrestling with as I learn these tricks. And really, like, I think that's a type of content that we want more of and we don't ever see on YouTube, because I think so many people feel like, oh, I don't know, like I can't share that. Like I see Nick Gallagher and Zach Gallagher, I have to only show my best clips or like those things. It's like, homie, chill. Like, yeah. No, I love watching people learn and wrestle through things and figure it out. So you were doing other content. Well, let's not get to Konami yet, because we will get there. You were doing cubing content. You were getting into that space, and you've kind of evolved your channel into a lot of different places as well, because you have a lot of unique hobbies and interests. Talk me through a few of the other things that you do talk about on your channel. Give us a big picture before we jump into Kendama.
Okay, so big picture minus Kendama, I think, is mostly two, maybe three other things. The cubing was the start, and I quit like very quickly, like within a week or two, was like, really? I can't really do anything else with this cube. And the other big thing at the time was I was getting back into collecting Lego, and like specifically Star Wars Lego, because I'm like a big Star Wars fan. And when I was just a wee lad, I was super into Lego and building stuff. And then, of course, when you get to like, you know, middle school, high school, that's like, you know, you don't want to be the kid that's doing that stuff. Well, you do. Everybody, you do.
Everybody wants it, but we just never give in. Except that one guy, yes, who does. And he ends up being the cool one later in life.
Exactly. You figured it out. But yeah, so I started doing some of those videos. And some of my biggest videos on the channel now is just like alternate builds, which is like I'd buy like a Lego set, and it would, you know, it has instructions to like build something a certain way. And I would just take the pieces and build something else, because that's what I was doing as a kid. And a lot of this is kind of like rekindling some of that love of doing things that isn't sitting in front of the TV and playing video games. And it's where I feel like good, like I'm doing something that I consider productive. I'm enjoying it. And so, yeah, the cubing, the Lego collection, and the Lego collecting spans from building to, I've got like this display shelf that I'm working on with some like cool art backdrops and stuff, like all Star Wars themed. So that's pretty exciting. And then the third is kind of the general skill thing, because the path I wanted to take my channel at the very beginning was just skill toys in general. And again, like you kind of found my dirty little secret that I'm not very good at Kendama, and that goes with a lot of things.
I didn't mean to expose you. I didn't mean it like that, obviously. But
no, of course. But yeah, it's the same with all these other things. Like I dabble in, and I want to share that experience of not being very good and practicing, enjoying it regardless, learning things from it, and not needing to be the best at it. So I had in my head like, oh, I'd try pen spinning, and I try, you know, all the other things like those, like the two metal balls on the string, those, all those things is kind of where I want to go with the channel. Cause you know, you see those channels. Oh, I learned to backflip today. I learned to eat a whole pizza today.
There's one guy in particular who's really famous for that. What's his name? I've seen him learn how to kickflip, heel flip, do a standing backflip.
Kind of like a Spanish guy, right?
Yeah. A muscle up. And like he's done everything. I used to watch his channel all the time. You know, he learned how to do a manual and said, oh man, I'm going to have to look that up afterwards, because he used to be one of my favorite content creators. And I loved that. And he would document his journey of learning how to do a new skill. And I think so many people only ever document the thing after they've learned the skill. They like talk about, oh, look at this thing that I can do. It's like, but how did you get to there? How did you get to that point? And that's kind of what you've been doing. That sounds like that's the channel that you were trying to build, was you're just trying to learn new things. So what is it about learning new things that inspires you? Like, why do you want to learn new things, and why not just settle doing the old things for you? Like, what drives you?
The thing that drives me into new things, I'd say, is primarily curiosity. I just want to try everything because I see it, it's cool, and I just want to try it. Sure. And then boredom. I think I move on from things really quick. I have a short attention span, and maybe that's not ideal for getting good at something, but yeah, I like to move around, dabble in a little bit of everything. And I guess Kendama has kind of stuck. I know we're not jumping into that just yet, but it has stuck a little more than usual. But most things, I do this. And yeah, it kind of puts me around the map.
Did you ever feel like you mastered anything that you were getting into? Or you said you jumped around a lot between things. Do you wish that you had spent more time on some of those things and really progressed far enough into it? Like, what, reflecting back on some of the things that maybe you left behind, where would you see that?
That's a really good point that you bring up, because it's kind of like a yes and no. I consider myself, you know, kind of like a jack of all trades, master of none. And like for example, if I, the first time I got like some juggling balls, if I, until this point now, had just practiced juggling, I'd probably be really, really good at it. And, you know, I could make YouTube videos on, oh, I'm such a good juggler and this, that, and the other. And obviously that's not an opportunity I have now. But I think when more of the motivation behind the content, speaking to the content specifically, when more of the motivation comes from just trying to expose people to, show people, inspire people to pick something up, I think there's really no need to kind of, you know, you don't want to, how do I want to put this? You don't want to spearhead yourself into like just one space. If that's what you're going, if you want to teach somebody to be the best juggler and that's it, then you got to be pretty good, right? Or nobody's going to take your word. Nobody's going to trust or believe what you say. But if you can kind of show your own like kind of human journey, natural journey that everybody goes through and not everybody shares, I think people are more likely to say, oh, I'll try that. Oh, that's not for me. I'll try that. And that's what I'd like to do. So that's just naturally where it's going.
That's fair. That's super cool to inspire other people to try things and pick it up. So you started your YouTube channel, what, about a year ago, a little over a year ago, you were saying, beginning of quarantine? Or
yeah.
At least when you started, you know, creating a lot more content.
Yeah.
What was your goal with it? Was it just a hobby for you, or did you want it to become something more? Was it just a platform for you to just put content on, or did you actually see this as something that became more of a vital part of what you're doing?
I think anybody that starts on YouTube has some thought in the back, way back there somewhere, that's like, oh, maybe one day this could be it, you know. But that definitely wasn't the motivating factor. It was really kind of like I mentioned, someone to share it with and someone that would be interested. And it's, I mean, it sounds like it's coming from a sad place. It's not, I'm not lonely or anything. It's just something like relatable for people. I thought what I was doing was cool. I think somebody will like to check it out. And I wanted to, document, share the journey. But I try to weave in, like, even in some of the Kendama or Lego videos, the title, the thumbnail is Kendama or Lego, but I end up talking about who knows what in the video. And it kind of takes you on that little journey. So, does that answer your question?
Yeah, definitely a little bit. Okay. Talk to me about Kendama. Like, how did Kendama enter into your world and into your content stream? Like, what was the story there? Because now obviously Kendama has become a lot more of a presence on your channel. It kind of seems to have taken it over in a lot of ways. You know, you're still doing other content, but that seems to be the dominant piece of content that's coming out now. And it seems like you're just getting more and more invested into Kendama. And you recently did a video that got me so stoked because I stumbled into it on YouTube, where you had done a video of you practicing the brew battle, beginner speed ladder. I was like, what the heck? Someone did this and put this on YouTube, first off, this event that I get to host every year. And I just thought it was so cool. It was like, it was one of those, like, I'm so happy and proud moments. I was literally geeked about it. So, it's obviously become a bigger deal for you, but where did it begin? Where did Kendama enter in, and how did you hear about it?
Yeah, I'm so glad you found the video. That was really exciting when you put on your story. You know, you're happy to see it. So I'm glad it stumbled onto your feed. But Kendama kind of entered kind of the natural way everything else did. So a lot of people say, like, I heard you mention this on one of these episodes as well, because I do listen to a couple of them. I have listened to a couple of them. And you mentioned, like, Kendama was kind of a space where you had to kind of know somebody who would introduce you to it. But I didn't have that. And if I had to pinpoint the first time I heard or saw anything about Kendama, I couldn't tell you. It was kind of just one of those things that was in my head as a thing that exists. Like, you know what, like, an inner tube is, but you don't know why or how. And that was Kendama. And I remember a specific moment that I could tie it to is, like, I was working and a coworker, I think I was juggling some pens or something, or spinning a ball or my finger, one of those strange things. And he called them uncle tricks. You know, you have like a cool uncle who does like all these, like,
it's literally my life. I live to be the cool uncle.
Yeah, absolutely. So he saw me doing this stuff. He's like, oh, you're so good at all the uncle tricks. Like, what's next? And I was like, And I knew this like Kendama skill toy thing was in the back of my head. And for me, it was just going to be like the next new thing to try. You know, I tried this, that. I want to try this little cup and ball thing. So maybe a couple of weeks or a month later, I knew absolutely nothing. I had no idea the space existed. I honestly didn't even know you could do tricks with it. I thought it was just to get it on this bike and that's it. Yeah. And I just Googled where to buy a Kendama in Canada. And I get the first link on Google, clicked it, found it, bought it.
Obviously, it was cafekendama.com.
I wish.
No, I wish. There's lots of other great places to buy kendamas, but you should check out cafekendama.com.
No, I seriously wish. I wish it was.
What was your first kendama?
So I have it right here. It's, you know, leave that at that. It's a Kendama Canada is like the brand.
Oh, and yeah.
So it was just some huge like warehouse store. Oh, the light is like really blasting this, but it's just like this big online warehouse retailer for kendamas in Canada, I guess. Like I said, I knew nothing about it. I just thought the gold looked cool, but the tama is like, you know, it's like metallic, gloss. Like rock hard. The cups are tiny. The spike is this, the bevels, like, yeah. you know what I'm getting at.
Totally, yeah.
But,
old school vibes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just thought that's what it was. So I, you know, practiced spiking it around and stuff and quickly looking into tricks and stuff. I had like one of my first videos was like learning kendama tricks because it was with that kind of learning all new things vibe.
Yeah.
And then I started seeing these trick videos. There's so many of them. And then I saw people doing lighthouses. And I was mad confused because I put this on here and I said, no, that doesn't work like that. And it took me a minute to realize, you know, there's a bit more than meets the eye there. It wasn't some ridiculous balance trick. There's different kinds of kendama, and that's the rabbit hole I went down.
Hey, but if you're an OG, like, you know, you give me that dama, I can probably still lunar on that and do lighthouse. And it's like, it's hard, but you can. And it's like, once you get there, it's like, oh man. There's something about that. I got a glossy kendama somewhere in a box somewhere. And it's really fun to go back and play it every now and then just to see how good I actually am. Because it's like you progress so far on the modern shapes and on the new kendamas with the great paints and everything that you just have to like take a couple days and then go back and play something old and see if what you humble yourself a bit, you know. It's like, oh, it all of a sudden the lunar flip is not easy anymore.
Yeah, I absolutely test you. And for me, I don't know if this is like common, but string length is like huge. Like I can hardly whirlwind if the string's not like six fingers or like more long.
Totally. It's a total difference, right? And there's like two camps of people in kendama. There's like the camp of people that are like, oh, all these new heads playing all these new modern shapes with the sticky paints and the long string. They don't know what kendama is. Then there's the other people that are like, no, man, kendama's like evolving and growing. And it's like, we get to grow with it. And sure, if you want to stay in the past. I definitely be more on that second half where I'm like, hey, if you don't want to catch up with us, that's fine. Like you can stay doing your thing. Nobody's going to hate on you for it, but like maybe don't hate on us. Like we're just trying to get better and grow. But at the same time, it's like all that to say, it's like kendama's changed so much and it's really cool to see the development. And I think we as players have changed so much and you're getting to do this whole documentation process of learning. And, you know, in 10 years from now, kendama will look so different and people look back at what you were doing on YouTube because that content will just live forever. You're like, yo, that's so cool. He was doing this at that point. It's like, that's insane to me or whatever it was. I don't know.
That is cool to think about. And it's interesting, like you kind of bring it up because like since I'm so new to it, like these exact kind of conversations of like old versus new school like happen in my comment section.
Yeah.
I'm like, I have no idea what any of these guys are talking about. Don't involve me.
Okay, so talk to me about like kendama and the content creation. And obviously it's become a huge part of your channel. And obviously now a lot of your viewers and your subscribers are kind of coming out of this kendama space and it's growing in that regard for you. Was that part of the reason that you kept pursuing kendama is that you started getting traction? What was different about kendama from the other things you were doing?
The thing with kendama, I think, is that it just stuck. I mean, the stuff that I do on my channel is just a reflection of what I'm doing in my life that's like kind of hobby related. And kendama really just stuck because there's been things that I try for a week or a month and then I'm over it, but kendama kind of stuck and I was having fun making the content. Obviously, there's a boost. Like when people are enjoying it and people start to watch it and comment, it's like the comments especially. Run up the review comments, people. So yeah, the comments especially.
It does push me.
It's crazy.
It is crazy, that kind of gratification that you get. Like I can get 10,000 views on something and, you know, like I've never gotten 10,000 views on anything, like one reel I put out, but I could get 1,000 views on an episode and three comments. And those three comments almost mean a world more than the 1,000 views. It could blow up as an episode, but like when people share about it on their stories or like, hey man, I listened to the review. I got a full little email from someone thanking me for the review. Like they found my email. They sent me literally paragraphs long talking about how they quit Kendama, came back to it. And I was like, bro,
that's awesome.
I loved that so much. I literally get so giddy anytime like anyone says like they're grateful for the review. However small, doesn't matter. It literally like it's the reason I keep it going.
Yeah, it's incredible. Like, and I don't know, like, is there a lot of kind of like long form content in the Kendama space? I'm really not that familiar.
Not a ton. There is the Dominerds and myself and the Bevel's Advocate, but they've been pretty silent for the last little while. They haven't put out an episode in a bit. And then Ryan from Pineapple, he's the owner of Pineapple. He does a podcast every now and then. He's been trying to get a little bit more active recently. I was just on it. And Georgia Kendama Radio. Okay. Like I've shouted him out before on the podcast, but Nick Dodenhoff or whatever, however you pronounce his last name, drummer. I don't remember which one it is. Nick from Georgia. He runs a podcast called Georgia Kendama Radio with a lot of the other Georgia Kendama homies. And honestly, that guy like puts on for Kendama, and he puts on for his local community harder than anyone else I know. And I've listened to the podcast and it's great. It's just like him and a few people from Georgia bringing on a guest and just chatting with them and asking questions about Dama. And like, it's cool. It's hype. They don't do it super often, but when they do, I love listening. So there's a few longer form content pieces out there. That was kind of the main answer to the question, but I felt he needed a shout out. And then on YouTube, like there used to be Max Norcross. He used to do longer form content kind of via the Norks vlogs and the Sweets vlogs, but those don't really happen anymore. And Kusa used to do that back in the day too, but it's pretty far. Like nobody's doing it anymore. Like everybody's so bite-sized and short-form content, TikTok and Instagram, you name it.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's something I found like pretty interesting too, like getting into Kendama, like when I first started. Like I went to YouTube looking for, like, I just assumed, right? Like with the huge cubing community and stuff that I was used to, that like there was just floods and floods of videos. Like every kid and their brother and sister were all making videos. Like some of them were great, some of them were not great, but I assumed it would have been the same for Kendama and there was just nothing there. So yeah, it's really interesting.
It is. And to be honest, I don't know why that is. I think, well, it's interesting because Kendama actually began on YouTube. Like that's where it really began to grow, is YouTube and like Vimeo and, you know, Reddit forums sort of thing. That's where the original content sharing would happen. And then it moved to Facebook. And then it went from Facebook to Instagram. And then it never really departed from Instagram. It's always been on Instagram ever since. And it, you know, people have tried to bring it to TikTok. And it blew up on TikTok really briefly. Like Isaac from Lotus Kendama has several videos that have hit multi-millions of views on there.
Oh, wow.
And there's another guy. He goes by Christian Trickshot. Christian, what's his last name? I don't remember, but Christian Trickshot is what he goes by on TikTok. And he used to do Kendama stuff. And then he started changing his TikTok channel to doing like other types of juggling. It's really just Kendama tricks, but he's doing with other things. So he has like a pen and like a grape, and he like juggles and does like stuff. And then he like spikes it at the end by like catching the grape on it on the end of the pen and whatever. And he's doing literally just Kendama tricks, but with like fruit and pens and stuff like that. And he's huge. He's almost at 1 million followers now on TikTok. And you know, there's like Alex Mitchell blew up on there for a while and a bunch of other people that, you know, had a bunch of like millions and millions of views. So it was like such a cool platform, but like not so much anymore. I think Isaac still posts on there a little bit. I'll ask him when he comes out to Brew Battle. But
so, yeah, that's interesting. I haven't really like ticked much talk, but yeah, that's interesting.
I haven't ticked the talk.
not too much picking and talking, but.
Yeah, you know, and part of me like wonders like why? Why isn't there more long form content in Kendama? Why are we so used to like bite-sized stuff? And part of it is like, we just want to see tricks, right? We just want to see the banger, right? And edits take a lot of effort to make. And I think in Kendama, the hard part is it's like, we grind hours to get one trick. And by the time we've done that, sometimes we just want to post it. Because we're behind 4 weeks on posting content because we're trying to keep up with the Instagram algorithm. I'm not good enough to just crank out trick after trick after trick to stack tricks and post tricks. Like, I don't know how big into like the Kanama community you are, but like if you know who Ben Harold is, I think he's one of the craziest people out there, not because of his tricks, but because of how consistent he is. Because he literally posts clips on Instagram. He's on his stories all the time posting tricks, and he's banking tricks for an edit all simultaneously. Like, he's always working on multiple streams of like content creation for Kanama. And I just like can't fathom how he hits that much and that consistently and that quickly that he's able to do that. Because for me, that blows my mind.
You know what? You might be onto something, because if the people that are that deep into Kanama are, you know, pushing themselves to pump out that kind of like trick related content, I can't imagine they have much time to do much else. Like, especially with, you know, longer form and YouTube content. And that might be one of the reasons, because Kendama has so much room for you to just grind banger after banger after banger. And you spend all your time doing that. Like, and you're getting great clips and a lot of engagement on Instagram and stuff, I'm sure, but YouTube doesn't really fit into that, that equation.
Which is why I think you found a bit of a blue ocean for yourself, where you're like, I'm not trying to compete in that space where I'm trying to hit my next biggest, like, I'm not grinding an hour for a trick. I'm just hitting the tricks that I, or like, you know, where you're at. And the progression's coming so much faster for you than like someone who's at my stage in the game. I've been playing for 7 years. For me to learn a brand new trick or to level up to like the next tier doesn't take me 10 to 20 to 30 minutes. It takes me 5 to 6 days or more of like grinding at a concept or a trick to finally unlock a new trick that I feel is worthy of posting, because it's become so competitive for me now. Where it's like, oh, I need to be able to post something new that people have never seen from me before. And it's kind of an ego thing that I think a lot of us that have been playing for a long time get into, because we always want to showcase something new or the best we've done. Or I feel like so many of us have this idea that it has to be better than our last post. Like, it can never be less than. And I think it just traps us.
Yeah, it's tough. That's a really tough place to put yourself in.
Yeah. So, okay, talk to me about your content creation, because you pump out content on YouTube so fast for your videos in terms of like Kanama. How do you come up with your content ideas? And you do a lot of different types of content, and it's just unique to me. It's cool.
I appreciate that. Thank you. The place that the Kanama content still comes from is really just my own curiosity and what I'm naturally doing. And I know I keep bringing up this point, but everything from the channel really just reflects what I'm up to in my own like personal kind of journey with Kendama. Like, even you mentioned like the brew battle trick list thing, that just came up as like I saw you post the list, and it was cool to see you pump through the tricks. And it was a genuine question, like, oh, I wonder if I can pump through this speed ladder like that people are gonna do in competition. And the only difference between me now and me 2 years ago doing that is just I'll just record it and I'll edit it together and put up. Like, I don't like go crazy on the editing and the production side. I mean, I just use my phone camera and whatever mic I've got and stuff like that. And I just document what I'm doing. Sometimes it stems from like a question, like the funnier one was like, how long does a lick last? Because, you know, I was like doing these tricks and everyone's like, oh, lick the bevel. And it was like, oh yeah, licking the bevel works, but how long does it last? It's just a random question that kind of spawns the content. And then the other obvious place to, I think, take it that I try to differ from is like trick tutorials. Like, you can find a bunch of trick tutorials. And one place you don't want to get your trick tutorials from is from someone who barely knows how to do the trick. So I kind of curve it into, you know, like more of a tips or like a general like progress. Like, I take the tutorial that everyone sees. I mean, realistically, everyone's going to see like the Kubernetes and the Josh Grove tutorials, right? Those are the tutorials everyone's going to go to, because you're going to look at the trick. It's going to be at the top, and that's what you're going to watch. And I also watch those videos too. So now we can relate, and I can tell you, oh, when he says this, I kind of think it's easier if you do this. Might help if you do this. Might not. It helped me. Might not help you. And that goes back to the whole journey thing. And the content just comes out of my head just like that. As I think of it, I put it on paper. Maybe people will be interested in this, and record it. And that's what you see.
That's so cool. And honestly, like, I think that resonates deeply with people. And obviously it has resonated, right, with the followers that you've generated. You're over 1,000 subscribers already on your YouTube channel. And that blew up, you know, in the past couple of months. Cause I think when I first stumbled into your channel, you had maybe 300, maybe 200 or 300. And you've been growing pretty rapidly in the YouTube space, and I'm making assumptions. You correct me if I'm totally wrong, but I'm assuming a lot of that is because of the Kanama videos that you've been posting, unless maybe there's another group of following that you're gaining outside of that. But with all that said, it's like you're documenting the human side of learning a trick, where the pros are telling you like what the trick is and breaking down the concept of the trick and how to hit the trick. You're actually showing me like how hard it is to learn the trick, you know, and you get to walk alongside it. And I can sit there for the 10-minute long video with you as you're learning the trick and doing the trick and working through it and watching your own progression. It's really cool for me to watch as someone who's done all the tricks that you're learning. And I don't know if it's like just me, but like, I love watching people learn things and progress. There's this deep satisfaction for me watching someone else succeed. And I don't know what it is. I go climbing now. I've been like really getting into rock climbing. Yeah. And one of my favorite things, I literally go to the climbing gym for 4 hours when I go, which is absolutely nutty. Like that's a really long time to spend at the climbing gym and be there. And the thing is, after like 2 hours and maybe 2.5 hours, I'm hardly even climbing. I just sit there and watch. I watch other people climb because there's a part of me that gets so excited to watch someone reach the top of something that they're trying to hit. And it might be even the same line. Yeah, it might even be the same one that I've hit before. And I'm just excited to watch someone do it and to be there to cheer them on, to watch how they solve something and problem solve and develop their own skills. And there's a part of me like that loves the psychology of learning something. And you present that in your videos. And I remember watching one of your first videos literally with chills because I think it's just like a me thing. Maybe other people resonate, but I watched it and you were just voiceovering yourself on a like 30-minute long clip of you learning a trick. And you're just like talking to me while I'm watching this clip of you in your backyard trying to learn a trick. And I was like, why am I watching this? Why am I here right now? Exactly. And why am I still watching? And why is this so soothing and therapeutic to me? And for me, like, I don't think I'm the best Kanama player in the world, but I'm up there in the like, you know, pro-ish category. And it's interesting to me to like see someone progressing and learning the game that I've come to love so much from a really unadulterated spot where you're just figuring it out. And there's something about that that was so attractive to me that I was like, I like what this guy's doing. It's so different from everybody else. And I just wanted to kind of applaud you for that. And I've been following ever since and just been really stoked on the content and what you're doing. Even if it's not like Cooper Eddie's Coop Broom, high production value, really aesthetically pleasing tricks, my quality, it's like, no, this is a really human experience that I'm getting to partake in.
Yeah. You're absolutely nailing it on the head. It's that like, once you get that like personal connection, that kind of human experience, like you said, it can kind of curve your interest, I think, because I'm glad you brought up the climbing piece, because that's kind of a point I wanted to bring up. Like, of course, I found out about you through Kendama and everybody on Instagram, Kendama, whatever, and I stumbled upon you. And then I'll see your stories and you're like climbing. It's like, now I'm interested in climbing. What do you know? And it comes around like that because you kind of get invested in the person more so than what they're doing. It's like the Kendama is like the common link, the common interest, but then you get invested into the person and now you're kind of in these new grounds where you're just interested in maybe their opinions, their experiences. Like for you, it's how they learn things interests you. And that is like a place I wanted to take it, because if I can draw parallel to, in terms of like consumption of content, like I know, like I've definitely started pumping out more Kendama related stuff, but in terms of consumption, I watch like a lot of Lego related videos and Star Wars Lego stuff, just because that's like, you know, that's what I'm finding enjoyable or therapeutic or however you want to put it right now. And there's 20 million guys that are doing, they put this Lego set here and they review it and they say, oh, it's got this, 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 this. Everybody's doing that. And then like, I'll stumble onto a channel where this guy like plops on his kitchen table. He's like, oh, I don't like the way that this is blue and round and whatever. And it's so much more personal that it's more interesting. Because now I'm interested in this guy. And, oh, what does this guy think about this? What does this guy think about this? Rather than, here's this thing, here's this thing, here's this thing. You know what I'm saying? It you get connected to kind of the personality more so than the content that brought you there.
Totally. And I think that's the difference between like a good creator and a not good creator. It's like you can be a not good creator and have a video go viral. But then if people don't stick around to watch your other content because they liked you, like you haven't really succeeded, right? But if you can keep people in your funnel and keep them watching and coming back because of you, regardless of the content you create, that's real influence. That's a really cool place to be because people are following your story, not just the videos you put out. They want to see you succeed. They want to see what you're doing. They want to engage in the story that you're telling through the content that you're creating. And that's ultimately, like, for me, like, I look at that and I'm like, that's really authentic. And I'm drawn to that. And I ultimately, like, I like what you're doing. And, you know, I'm curious, like, what's next for you? Like, where do you see this going for you? Do you see Kendama as being something longer term for you? Or do you see it as like, okay, I'm going to stick it out for a while and then I might jump to something else. I don't know.
Yeah. So I've got, like, you know, the notes app on my phone and I've got tons of ideas, lots, plenty Kendama related, a lot of, like, new series, things I want to start, things I want to do and try, time permitting. And, I'd love to keep doing Kendama stuff as long as I'm interested in it, but there might come a day where I find a yo-yo under my bed or something and I start playing with it. And if I love it that much, that's where the content's going to go, to be honest, because I can't see myself, like, not enjoying, like, I can't see myself in a place where I'm stopped enjoying Kendama for whatever reason, but still making the content on it, because it's not going to feel right. Not from, like, a I'm lying to you point of view, but, like, I just won't be interested in creating. I won't be curious about it anymore. And if I lose that kind of, like, kid-like excitement for something, then I don't think it's going to reflect itself well into the content. And I'll just do what I like to do. Like, even, you know, right now, I live in my parents' house and it doesn't lend itself well right now, but I'd love to make, like, a cooking video or something, you know, and that just might be where it goes in the future. But I think for the foreseeable future and well into next couple of years, Kendama is something that I'm really enjoying, and I don't see the content straying too far away, even if there's some stuff weaved in between.
That's cool. You've been in Kendama now for what, a couple months? How long has it been since you picked up your first one?
So I picked up the first Dama a bit over a year ago.
Okay.
But it was, you know, it was like a desk piece, right? It wasn't anything that I was super into. It was when I started trying to make these, like, Kendama trick videos, like me learning Kendama, that I started to, like, pick up the, like, the newer, better shapes or whatever, and playing around with them. And then maybe the last, maybe 2021 as a whole, I really started, like you said, the content really shifted heavy towards Kendama, because I started getting new Damas and I started playing more, and the summer months lets me go outside. And it kind of came, like, more naturally in the past few months, and it's kind of exponential growth in terms of how much I've been enjoying it and thus how much it appears on the channel.
So you've been playing for about a year. Have you been to any in-person jams? Have you met any other Kendama players in real life yet?
I have not met one. And it's definitely interesting, because I know, like, again, kind of an unconventional take, but there's definitely people out there, well, I assume there's people out there like me that kind of, like, for me, Kendama has always been, and maybe will always be, maybe it'll change, but it's always been, like, this personal thing, like, therapeutic, just me after work, I do this. And, like, when I think of Kendama, that's what it is, because that's what it's been for me, right? But I know a lot of other people, they think of Kendama and they think of big group events and jams and challenging each other and tricks and games of Ken and these things. And when I think of Kendama, it's just not that for me. And not that I'm opposed to it or anything. It's just, that's just not what it is, right? But it's the way I can't think about it. And I'm not opposed to going to a jam or meeting any people. It's just hardly, like, been, not that I'm trying to make this come across, you know, in a fair sense of the matter, but it's just not something that I was seeking out or interested in, because, oh, Kendama, I do that in my room by myself while I'm listening to music, right? Like, that's what it is to me. And I haven't really tried straying away from it.
Is that something you'd like to do in the next year, is to meet other people who play? Or do you want to keep it something for yourself and to keep it something that's contained? Because to me, like, that's a really unique take on Kendama. Whereas I think for most other people, like, and if you listen to past episodes of The Review, you'll hear me talk about this all the time. Like, I think Kendama is more of a social game than it is an individual game, even though we're all doing it as individuals. Like, it's something that you play by yourself, but the only way that I think most people, like 90% of people, retain interest in it is because of the people around it. And that's the reason they commit to the community and to the growth and to the development. But it doesn't sound like that's, like, what drives you more than anything. It's like, you just genuinely love the progression of the toy itself and the game itself, regardless of the people that are watching you.
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head there. I mean, I'm enjoying it for me as it is in the corner of my bedroom, and that's just how I see it right now. But to answer your first question, no, I'm not opposed at all to like going and meeting people. It's just, I guess, not on the top of the list or whatever sense you want to put it in. It's, again, not because I'm opposed to it. I just wouldn't think to. It's like,
interesting.
Would you want to like go eat your lunch with a group of people? Like, sure, but it didn't cross my mind, right?
Dude, for me, it's like, yes, I do want to go eat
lunch. Okay, with maybe
like,
we're different.
No matter what, I'm like always like, it doesn't matter. Like, if I'm going climbing, I'm like, I'm climbing with people. I will never go for a hike by myself because I have such a like, I need people around me. I'm such an extrovert in that way.
Yeah, so, but like, you can't hike in your bedroom.
Yes, I can. No, but like, even Kendama, like, I'll play by myself a lot, but I don't think I'd keep playing if it wasn't for the people. Like, I think I'd still have it around and I'd still like pick it up and play it here and there, but I would not be as good as I am if it wasn't for the people. I wouldn't be as connected. I wouldn't have started a podcast if not for the people. I literally wouldn't be creating content if it wasn't for the people. I care way too much about the community and like my place in it as like a part of my identity with Kendama.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe that's sacrilegious to some people. They're like, no, you should just love Kendama for Kendama. And it's like, I love Kendama because of how it's connected me more deeply to people. I love Kendama for so much more than the simplicity of catching a ball in a cup. And you know, there's going to be someone who's going to message me after this and be like, you should just love Kendama. I do, but like, it's more than that to me. Come on. I don't know. It's just, it's such a unique take that I don't hear very often. And it reminds me a little bit of Max Angel. I don't know if you ever listened to that episode that I did with him, but Max played by himself, virtually him and his brother, for like 10 years before ever meeting a real person who played Kendama. And I was like, that's absolutely bonkers to me that you made it that long and still are playing and now are a sponsored player. It's like, it just blows my mind to bits.
Wow. Yeah, maybe it does have to do with the fact that I'm still pretty new to it. I mean, like you were saying, like grinding tricks on your own has ultimately gotten old after this. How long have you been playing? 6 or 7 years? Or
7 years now.
Yeah, well, yeah. So, I mean, maybe you're kind of at that point where you don't need, but obviously enjoy more when you're with other people because it's a different element, right? I still got like... There's so many things that I'm still learning and trying to do. And maybe that's why I can keep myself occupied by myself. And I don't feel the need to like get in with a whole bunch of other people. Maybe that's it because I'm new to it. Maybe I'm antisocial and don't know it. I don't know what the root is, to be honest, but that's just how I've always seen it. And maybe if I went to a gym, it changed my whole perspective and be open to trying it. But if I just think what's Kendama, it's, to me, playing, leveling up, challenging myself, relaxing for the most part. That's where a lot of the vibes of the video go to. It's like, relaxed. You don't need to like hit the next big trick. Just play to relieve some stress before you go back to work and keep it at that, right? It's quick sessions. It's something to do for 10 minutes before dinner. Get some exercise. Get out of your chair. That's what Kendama is to me.
That's cool. That's so cool. I don't know, man. There's something about like this conversation that's like fun for me because 95 to 99% of the conversations that I have on the review are all people who are like very deep into their Kendama journey. They've all been playing for years. They either run a brand, they are a pro or whatever it is. Like I've interviewed people from almost every brand now, which is humbling to me. It's crazy. And you know, you're probably one of the first, the second person I think that is like, just like experiencing Kendama kind of like at, in its infancy for yourself, you know, within your first year and a bit of playing the game and getting into it. And it's just so cool to hear a different perspective and where you're at. And honestly, like I'm stoked to see the rest of your journey in the game unfold, whether or not that's for another month, 2 months, 3 months, 3 years. I don't know. I do hope that you do come out to Brew Battle 2022 next year competing because I've seen you crushing the beginner ladder already. You're pretty much ready. You're ready to go. You're cooking. You're cooking. What is the trick that you're really trying to get right now? And what is like the trick that you see as like, once I've hit this, I will be really happy.
That's such a good question.
Do you want to know what it was for me when I started? Lunar. Lunar was the hardest trick for me forever. And because I never understood the pull-up. It was such a confusing thing. And I knew one guy in person who knew how to do it. And he's like, oh, you just like twist backwards and then drop it and like pull it. And I was like, okay, but how do I actually do that? And he would just do it effortlessly every time. I was like, what the frick? How do I? Yeah. And it drove me insane until I finally got it. And it was the most exciting trick I've ever hit in my life was Lunar. And now Lunars are one of my favorite tricks in the world to do. I love them.
Yeah, it's interesting that you kind of bring up the whole journey and the like, you know, not fear behind it, but like the challenge. Because I if you're asking me like trick wise, I think I don't know if you're gonna ask me like favorite trick as well, but I guess you're getting two for one now. It's always been like multi juggles and things like that. I think it comes back to you know, I used to juggle like tennis balls and tennis rackets, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoy the multi juggles, and I want to get like, I think the trick would be maybe like some insta lighties. Those are super satisfying, and I cannot do more than like half of one of those. And to integrate that into like a juggle line, that's the answer to your question. If I could integrate some insta lighthouses, like two or three in a row, into a juggle line, that would be it for me.
You'll get there. That's a good ambition and good goal, and that'll keep you in the community a little bit longer, because we need some mediocre content. We need more of it. So I'm excited about that.
Thank you.
Well, hey man, I honestly don't have that much more in terms of questions that really I wanted to ask you. But honestly, like, if you guys are listening out there on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you guys are watching this, you guys really got to go check this guy out. I think if we've been playing Kinama for a while, or if you're a listener that's been playing for a while and you need to refine your love for the game in its like unadulterated form, go follow this guy. Go check out his channel. Go watch his videos. And it literally has re-inspired me in times when I needed to be re-inspired to just enjoy the process, enjoy the learning, and not to compare myself so much to other people. And I think it's so necessary for us as Kinama players to humble ourselves that have been playing for a while. And dude, I'm ultimately like, just thank you for the work you've done and the influence that you've been in the community. It's awesome.
Dude, I appreciate your words so much. Like, you don't even know, like, I mean, it's pretty surreal for me to even, you know, hop on here, because you're interviewing like pro players and brand owners. And then you're like, hey, dude, you want to hop on? I'm like, ooh, does this guy know what he's getting himself into? Like, I
know exactly what I'm getting myself into.
I feel like I'm literally just like a guy picking it up, just trying to have fun with it and sharing it. And then if it sticks, like for people like you and saying that you're inspired, I mean, I've even gotten comments. This is how I know it's like doing something for somebody, at least, because I got a comment from a guy. It's like, oh, I just got my first Kendama. And I looked at his like profile picture, and it was like a little Lego man. So I'm like, oh, this guy found my Lego videos and he stumbled into Kendama. That was super satisfying. Oh. So Adam, I seriously appreciate you like giving me the chance to come on here. And your words are more motivational than anything. And I'll keep cranking it out. If anybody wants to stop by, check out the Kendama commentaries, the tips, they'll be there.
Yeah, Mediocrist on YouTube, Mediocrist. And then on Instagram, it's the same, right?
That is right.
So you guys go follow him. It'll also be in the show notes of today's episode. So go check it out there. Dude, Jesse, I always like to leave the conversation in your hands at the end with any parting words that you would like to say to the Brewview listeners out there, the caffeinated community in Kinama that tune in on a weekly basis to this show. What would you like to say to them? And then I'll wrap it up here. But ultimately, thank you so much for being on here in this week's episode.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you so much. Kind of the same spiel. I mean, you know where to find me, you know where to find Adam. If you want to absorb some Kendama content, and you know, don't push yourself too hard to hit the next big thing. Take it easy. Enjoy whatever you're doing, cooking, cleaning, Kendama, whatever it is. Enjoy it. Enjoy a podcast. Enjoy a coffee. Enjoy whatever happens to come up on my channel. And have a good time doing it. That's really my send off. Just enjoy what you're doing. And I appreciate anybody that made it this far. I seriously appreciate, and I'm sure you do too as well, Adam. So thank you. That's all I can say.
We love that watch time. You know, when you guys make it to the end of an episode or the end of a YouTube video,
guys, it always feels good.
If you're here and you aren't subscribed, what are you doing? Come on. No, seriously, guys, if you are enjoying the content on the preview and you are been a long time listener, thank you so much. It does a world to us as content creators to hit that like button, to hit subscribe, leave a comment letting us know what you think of the episode. Go do that for all your favorite creators. It literally helps so much, not in terms of the algorithm, but literally in terms of our mental sanity to know that what we're doing is impacting people. But beyond that, if you do want to support the show, you can support at Patreon. The show notes will have the link in there. So if you do want to go and support on the Patreon, you can. Also, if you haven't already and you're considering it, you should come to Brew Battle 2021. September 10th through 12th here in Calgary, Alberta. It's a fully fledged competition with beginners and intermediate speed ladders, open divisions for the AMs and the pros, and we got a roster of pros coming out here all around North America to come and compete. It's absolutely blowing my mind. We have vendors from some of your favorite brands, including Soul and, oh man, I'm going to forget all the names of them. Literally so many. Soul, Terra, Grain Theory, New Lace Kanama, Lotus Kanama. They're literally all going to be here. So just come on out. Come be here. Tickets are up on cafekanama.com. There are cash prizes for the pro and the freestyle championships. So go check it out. And we hope to see you there. And as always, stay caffeinated. And we will see you guys next week on The Review. Peace.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of The Review. I'm always super excited about every guest that we get to have on here, and I hope you learned something new about Kendama or the people behind the tricks. As always, please let me know your feedback or suggestions of guests that we should have on the episodes, and stay caffeinated.